Blog Talk Radio.
Strawberries.
You know, if I could just make a decent cup of coffee, I could relax.
Seriously, Brad, if you treat her right, she might make you a darn good employee.
I didn't know anything about the gold standard, I'm afraid, but I do love little kittens.
And you drank red wine from a box.
Not these ladies.
So raise your glass if you are mad.
They're smart, sexy, and opinionated. It's time for the Red Wine Show with your hosts, Laura Lee, Jody, and Diane. They're serving up a little wine with your wine on Old Con Radio.
Hello, happy April Fools. This is kind of a depressing red wine when it comes to the first day of the month for April, talking about infanticide and human trafficking. But hopefully you guys will learn something that you can take with you and make the world a better place. We have with us Katie Johnson, again from Glory House. She's going to guest host with us tonight. How are you, Katie?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me again. You guys are wonderful.
Oh, we love having you here. And, of course, Miss Diane.
Hello. How's everybody doing? This beautiful April Fool's Day.
We're good. Do you still have snow?
I saw a glacier in my front yard. However, I did see some grass, so I'm very happy. And not the type of grass you see in Colorado, but anyhow, I digress. Well, at this point, with all the snow, I'm ready to use that grass.
So, yeah. Katie, you have beautiful weather, correct?
Yes, yes, I know.
We always
I'm
discuss our weather
frequently.
Because...
But, you know, the thing is,
I want you to know, I have beautiful weather, too. Not right now, but I did. It was 80 degrees yesterday, so.
Oh, my God, I can't even. That's not right.
I know.
It's 50
I know,
degrees.
I know.
Short,
but I want you to know. It's going to be cold the next 2 days, so I'll be miserable right with you.
And what do you consider cold?
Sound good?
No. What do you consider cold? 40 degrees,
okay,
so, 30 degrees?
Yeah, I know. It's miserable. Okay, so we have had a lot of feedback. First of all, I want to say thank you for making us the number one con radio. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Second thing, yes, we are very humbled and thank you. The other thing is we have had a lot of feedback on the Blog Talk Radio, people trying to get on, can't get on, people get on, they get kicked off, a lot of feedback. And I want you guys to know that we have listened to you, and our lovely producer, Mr. Steve, is looking into a different setup, and hopefully in the future, you will be able to really hear us.
Yay!
We have stuff to say.
Thank you, boss man.
At right line, as a matter of fact.
I didn't even hear that. That sounded like bok, 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 bok.
Relaunch right online.
Okay. So,
same.
So, again, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to us. Tonight is very serious. We're going to do this once a month. Katie has graciously agreed to guest host with us, and we will even have the lovely Laura back when she is able to. come on and discuss human trafficking in the United States and abroad. It is so huge. It is so huge. Some of you have been following this when we've been discussing it on Red Wine. In fact, I was getting a facial yesterday, and Julia, if you're listening, she was talking back to me. She follows Jerome now on Facebook, and she was discussing with me the different trafficking issues. And I'm so glad that this has resonated with some of you out there. And hopefully we can make a difference, and hopefully we can put pressure on our legislators. Hopefully we can, just awareness alone, the more police that are aware, and they're getting training as we speak across the United States, the more training, hopefully the less likely it is that this will continue. And that's our hope. That's our prayer and our hope. Because 400,000 American children are victims of sex trafficking each year, according to a study out of Belhaven University that was just recently done. That's in Mississippi. So,
interestingly enough.
Yes, I know. And speaking of Mississippi, that's our first topic. So, Mississippi. Oh, my Lord, what is going on in Mississippi? 90 children. This is just a recent article that just came out. Mississippi victims of sex trafficking. Parents were selling their own children for drugs, for money and drugs. Just what in the hell? So a report out of by Beautiful Ones Universities at Belhaven University, they studied just four counties, not the whole state, four counties. They found that trafficking of by relatives for these children, mostly relatives, is frighteningly common. In fact, 40% of traffickers are related to the child.
That is mind-boggling.
Well, that's kind of what Jerome said when he was here that night. Do you guys remember him discussing how the trafficker is usually a known entity instead of an unknown?
Right.
Oh, my gosh. It gives me chills. It gives me chills. And, you know, again, back to the money, $9 billion a year, is according to this Belhaven University study, in the U.S. alone. $9 billion a year.
Well,
staggering.
What happens when this people don't place value on children anymore? To
yeah,
them,
you're
they're
exactly
means for,
right.
You know, means for gain. You know, when drugs take over someone's life, they make bad decisions. But I truly think these people were capable of making these bad decisions without drugs. And I can't imagine how someone could do that. And you know, I think what happens a lot when and I'm sure Katie will agree, when it comes to certain subjects that people don't want to hear about, they kind
of
let you talk about it and then go away quietly. Well, the goal of us continuing to bring the subject up is we're not going to let it go away. If we can save one, if we can save two, if we can save three, we'll never stop. I'll never stop. I know Jody will never stop, and Katie won't either.
We need to be the salt in this wound, and we need to keep digging. We need to make it an issue that's so incredibly painful to bear on the American public that other people get involved, because a situation like this is, because it's a huge systemic issue, it's very complex, and it's a lot more complicated than what meets the eye, because I think it goes a lot deeper than just parents selling their kids or aunts and uncles buying and selling their nieces and nephews. I think the governmental systems are failing. And I think
I agree.
You know, I think it goes a lot deeper than that, and the parents also, you know, they're hooked on drugs, but why are they hooked on drugs? You know, this is a rabbit hole that's endless. So I think just the basic I think society needs to be aware, and society needs to do something about it. And people like you and me, we need to be the pain in their side, the one that continues to push and push until we make everyone else around us uncomfortable with the issue, uncomfortable enough to do something about it as well.
I totally agree. I want to play this news clip off about this article. Then when it's done, I'll just give you guys another staggering fact from this Mississippi study. So, Mr. Producer, do your thing.
It's the producer. Well, while he's running that, waiting to get that clip on, I just wanted to say seriously that, it is a systematic failure all around. However, the education that's getting out now to the police departments, to the schools, to look for signs, I really think that, you know, more and more we're going to be able to try and nip this in the bud where they can sit there and see, you know, there's a child in need at the school. Well, the school will report it.
Human trafficking experts, modern day slavery.
Parents have sold their children, and not only sold their children, but are trafficking their children. They are, for lack of a better word, pimping their children out.
Now, 40% of children and adults are sold for sex by members in their own family, according to a nonprofit.
Okay.
Well.
And now we all know why we're
switching. But the fact that it's members of the family is just so disturbing, but that's how they get access to the kids easier.
Yeah, it is disturbing. And that's what happened to Jerome. It was his own stepfather. So I'm not sure what happened to the clip, but we'll just let that slide. One of the things that it said in this study was that one couple, this is just an example of one of the couples out of all of the people they studied, one couple sold their daughter for $5,000 to a out-of-state truck driver at a truck stop.
Mm-hmm.
$5,000. That's the value of their child. She must have been old enough. She was able to get away, and that is how she was saved. So thank God that was a good, you know, ending to that story. $5,000 makes me just makes me heartbroken
and angry. Very angry.
It is angry. And in Katie's great state of Florida, they just had the Daytona Bike Week, the Biker Week.
Yeah, that's well known around here, and it's kind of like the Super Bowl issue. When there's something huge, like in a big event like that in America, traffickers know, they know where to go. They know where to go to sell the girls and children. In fact, it's not just girls, it's little boys too. And they know that there are going to be buyers there. So I do thank God for the federal agents and law enforcement and everyone involved to set up those things that would save potential children in the future. But I think we need to have a lot more of those. And I think the public needs to get more involved.
Did anyone notice that they had sent out the alert looking for the young teenage, well, they weren't sure if she was underage, but, someone had taken a video of her dancing with just beads on and being touched inappropriately, and they literally put out, you know, full, find this person, we want to make sure she's safe. I mean, that to me indicates that perhaps they're really now starting to take a really good look at just what's going on, because this happened at Daytona Beach and they did find her, and she did say that fully aware of, you know, I was drunk or whatever, but she did say that nothing happened to her. She did respond to the pictures of her, you know, and came forward.
Right.
But it's like, that's not something I normally remember seeing.
Well, I'm glad the police are taking a proactive. They went about before this event going online pretending to be 13 and 14 year old girls. So that is wonderful that they were, you know, going out there, luring these men into places. There were 43 busted within a period of just a few days.
Right.
So, you know, that's good. The police are, like I said, every little bit of education and getting stuff out there helps, because if somebody out there listening to us sees something abnormal at a truck stop, at a restaurant, at a hotel, anywhere, like that, like Diane was talking the one night about the girl that held up her cell phone in a back seat and happened to catch a car driving by, you know, was able to tell them, you know,
it was actually the
she needed help.
It was the state trooper in Rhode Island. And
yes,
she flashed
yes,
them her cell
right.
phone and said, "I need help. Please help me." And she couldn't say it, but he read it and he said, "You out of the car." And
mm-hmm.
they found out that she had been a former victim of trafficking, and the two guys had found her again, and they were forcing her back into trafficking, and she was rescued from that. But, you know, I'd also like to sit there and, you know, look at, we talked previously about the National Guard member from New Hampshire that was busted for the sex trafficking ring down in Texas. And, you know, just this past week, Scott Brown sent a letter to the governor of our state, you know, stating, we need to find out more about this issue, and we need to speak out more about this issue and just how far and how high up this goes, because it's not acceptable. You know, and we
right.
need more people like Scott Brown to get out and say these things, and politicians, because as we had talked about earlier with the DEA agents having the services of prostitutes overseas by the drug cartels, well, these are the very agents that are supposed to be protecting U.S. interests. Well, if they're being serviced by, obviously, we most likely know, underage or people forced into human trafficking, because that's what the drug cartels do, you know, how many are looking the other way? How many others are looking the other way? How high up does this go? We already know it goes pretty high up in the State Department, because the guy that got arrested for soliciting a supposed 8-year-old, how high up does this go? And that's why it won't
mm-hmm.
stop.
I agree. So speaking of how high up does it go, Katie, you actually read the bill that just went in the Senate.
Yes, I did.
Correct? So
yes.
Let's just kind of brief our audience. What happened?
Well, basically, they, to be unpolitically correct, which I know you guys are, they pulled a Pelosi, which we should have known that that's what they were going to do. They passed the bill without reading the bill, and then went back and said, oh, no, they must have stuck that in there, and we didn't see it, and they're trying to be secretive and about the abortion thing. That's what you're talking about, right?
Right, exactly. So the Senate had a human trafficking bill sent to them. It would have really addressed a lot of issues, including child pornography. It was a very aggressive human sex trafficking slavery bill for the United States. I think it's greatly needed. It would have given resources, funding, et cetera. And it was shot down because of the abortion language. So for those that don't understand and those that think, well, who cares, abortions should never be paid for tax dollars. Tax dollars pay for Planned Parenthood, but no one has voted or said, or the Senate or the Supreme Court or anybody has said that we as citizens, because obviously it's just like the bill in Indiana right now discussing your religious freedom. So we shouldn't have to use tax dollars for abortions. Abortions are already, you can get a free abortion at Planned Parenthood. This is insane. How many abortions would this actually mean numbers-wise, percentage-wise, for trafficking issues? So I think it's silly that they're playing partisan politics over something
this,
so
this
important.
This goes to show
That's
how...
What this,
oh, sorry, I was going to say, but it goes to show how piss-poor our Senate is, because this bill was publicly released on January 13th. And it didn't even get whatever the language is, marked up until February 26th. So basically, it was publicized for 6 weeks where anybody could read it. So, yes, the Pelosi rule does go into effect. It means the Democrats did not bother to read it because the language was always there.
Right.
And it's federal language. You know, so for them to sit there and say that they didn't know about it, that obviously means what scares me the most. Only the aides of these senators are actually reading any of these bills. I don't believe a single minute that a senator is actually reading these bills like they're supposed
that
to.
That is scary.
Doesn't that make you guys mad?
I'm
you guys sick of it.
You know,
sick of it.
It makes me question every politician, well, the majority of them, because this is a bill that should be passed to help victims, to help children. I mean, these are our kids. This is the future of our country. Why are they not helping these?
It is slavery. We, as the United States, if they went to vote, and you took a national vote right now on this sex trafficking bill, I would bet it would overwhelmingly pass, as written.
Right.
I really think that Planned Parenthood has the Democratic Party by the cojones, and it's ridiculous. And I think it's a shame because I think that we are dropping the ball on these children,
adults.
Yeah, and, well, of course, and adults. But I just, thinking of all those, just Jerome's story, thinking of that makes me want to just, you know, rip somebody's
well,
head
if,
off. But,
you know, if we guess. Also, if we take a look
sorry, can I just introduce a guest quick? We have a guest.
Yes, yes.
Steve, are you still here? Yes? No? Do we have?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yay!
Hello, Steve.
Hello, and good evening.
Good evening.
Did you have a comment for us on this topic?
Yeah, listen, can you do me a favor real quick? Put your earmuffs on, okay?
Okay.
That's what I'm about to say.
Are you saying that my
he's
listening
put your earmuffs on. What sick fucks sell their own family members as sex slaves?
It's awful.
What is that about?
It's awful. I don't know.
I mean, 40% blows my mind.
It should blow everyone's mind.
But
and
see, that's exactly that's the reaction that we're trying to get everyone to have.
I
you
just
everyone
don't
had
understand
that reaction.
It. I just want to choke every one of them. I want to, like, line them up and put lead in each one's head. I mean, where are we going as a society when we allow that to happen?
Exactly.
Well,
you're exactly right.
I think I put it to the fact that we've allowed this country to become correct, that we've basically immunized people against atrocities that are committed, you know, with what you see on TV or the depravity of people is just, to me, shocking. But I think people are so, you know, insulated
apathetic.
Or not insulated. They just, apathetic, exactly. That is the perfect word for it. That they just, it's the usual not in my backyard mentality.
And it harkens back to what brought James O'Keefe onto the scene. I mean, what made him famous? Remember his first video with Breitbart?
Yes.
Remember he did the video and he went into the Planned Parenthoods? And he was actually getting advice while telling them that he had underage girls working in the sex business, and they were giving him advice. I mean, that's the kind of politically correct nonsense and enabling that allows this kind of thing to transcend through our society. I mean, that video should have sent shockwaves through the government to show them they need to defund Planned Parenthood.
But you know what's
scary?
Yeah,
when you have members of the government,
it didn't, shock them. Exactly.
No, and it's amazing.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Katie. That's the norm. Of course it didn't shock them.
They are used to having sex industry people come in and need acquire abortions. And that's so sad because it comes up to what we're talking about in the next out in the next when we come back after the break about the value of human life. And somewhere along the line, and I don't think it's a color issue, it's not a race issue. It's almost a
moral
class
issue.
Yeah, it is. It's a moral issue. So some people, I just don't understand. The kind of person that would sell their own child is probably the kind of person that's doing a lot of morally incorrect things in their life.
Well, of course. Probably. Because if you think selling your child is one of the most awful, heinous things you can think of.
Oh, yeah.
So anything else to them is no big deal. I mean, doing drugs, you know, doing meth or whatever in front of your kids, that's no big deal to them. So, of course, society has deteriorated completely. And what I found is that, and I'm sure you guys have too, is that liberals don't want to touch the moral issue. They think that conservatives are crazy for even bringing up the word morality. So,
of course,
they're not going to touch abortion.
And I think that that's a slippery slope. So I think originally it started, there are a lot of people that said, listen, I think if it's a woman's right to choose, it's a woman's right to choose. I don't think that those same people, if you said to them, well, now it's at 40 weeks, and now it's actually beyond 40 weeks, because there's no real line. It just has gotten completely crazy. I think if you said to them way back then, you realize it's going to go here, they would never believe you. And it's the same with all of these issues. It's almost like they don't want to judge. It's about nobody wants to be judged. They don't want to judge, so they're not judged.
Now, you ask the same liberals, okay, if a pregnant woman gets murdered and she had a baby in her belly, okay,
because the fetus is wanted.
It's a baby to them at that point. Okay, it's not a baby to them if it's in regard to abortions. But if that woman gets murdered, they want that person to go away for double murder.
Oh,
rightfully so, in my eyes.
I think that just happened in Colorado. We just had a woman that answered a Craigslist thing that had her baby ripped out of her. That baby was killed. That baby died because it was too early to be outside the womb. So the baby died because it didn't have the proper medical care. The woman that did it took the baby to the emergency room pretending it was her own. She is not being charged with murder in the state of Colorado.
Just attempted murder.
She's not
going to be charged with that either, yeah. Because they didn't pass the law.
She is charged manslaughter on the mother, but that mother lost a child, a wanted child. She was responding to baby clothes, and that. So there you go. So there's your slippery slope. I just can't even imagine.
You know, I like to learn things. You know, I learn things from you guys. You know, everybody I meet, I try to learn something from. Alexis kind of put it out there as plainly simple as it could be, but it's the best way to describe what we deal with liberals. With death, we pronounce death when the heart stops, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You're from the medical field, Jody. You know this, okay?
Yep.
Once the heart stops, the doctor pronounces that person dead. Well, wouldn't it be the logical thing to say that life, since death ends when the heart stops, life starts when the heart starts beating? I mean, it's as simple as that. There's no counter to it. There's no, it's a fetus and it's not really a life. No, when that heart starts, that means there's life in that body.
Well, I have to say, I wish everyone in the world could hear those words and just feel it in their heart to be true. But we know that people just don't feel that way. So we're going to go to a break.
Steve, thank you so much for calling in. I think
no,
at some point you got to get your own show here. So. thank you so much for calling in. When we come back, we're going to discuss this ridiculous article out of Oxford, England. What in the world's going on over there? So stay tuned.
You're listening to The Red Wine Show. Would you like to talk with us? Dial 646-716-7039 and talk with us live. Right here on AltCon Radio.
It certainly is a big bun.
It's a very big bun.
Big fluffy bun.
It's a very big fluffy bun.
Where's the beef?
Some hamburger places give you a lot less beef on a lot of bun.
Where's the beef?
At Wendy's, we serve a hamburger we modestly call a single. And Wendy's single has more beef than the Whopper or Big Mac. At Wendy's, you get more beef and less bun.
Hey, where's the beef?
I don't think there's anybody back there.
You want something better. You're Wendy's kind of people.
You're listening to The Red Wine Show with your host, Diane. Follow Di on Twitter at DMB1031 and catch her each week on The Red Wine Show on AltCon Radio.
And we are back from our quick break. And again, I'm here with Jody and Katie. And going back to what Jody was talking about, there was basically this article that I happened to stumble upon that just sent me completely over the edge. I was beside myself when I read it. But basically it was two ethicists, I guess if you want to call them that, that did a study the study was entitled After Birth Abortion, Why Should the Baby Live? What their argument was is the moral status of an infant is equivalent to that of a fetus in the sense that both lack the properties that justify the attribution of the right to life to an individual. Rather than being actual persons, newborns were potential persons. They explained, and I have to read this because it's just, if I didn't see it in black and white, I never would have believed it, that both a fetus and a newborn certainly are human beings and potential persons, but neither is a person in the sense of subject of a moral right to life. So basically, their argument is it's not possible to damage a newborn by preventing him or her from developing the potentiality to become a person in the morally relevant sense. So basically, they're calling this an after-birth abortion because child... infant can't basically, you know, isn't considered a person yet because they can't take care of themselves or do anything independently. So it's basically okay if a mother says, oh, you know, I feel like being a mother, get rid of my child, that the doctor can kill it. The doctor can also make a decision if the parents weren't told or the test failed that their child might have Down syndrome, that it's okay for the doctor to kill the child. That it's okay. It's morally okay. So we talked about how at 20 weeks, my opinion on this is, if you don't want to be pregnant by the time you're 20 weeks pregnant, you got a problem. If you haven't figured it
right,
out by then,
you've known.
Mm-hmm. You've got a
exactly.
problem. But when you sit there and basically give birth to a child and say, oh, I don't want to be a mom. Are you kidding me? Where do these ethicists, I have no idea. I mean, the fact that the professor at Oxford University said, well, they've been receiving death threats because it's the radical liberals, the progressive liberal view that the radical right doesn't like. Are you kidding? Are you kidding?
Yeah. I
don't understand this.
Keep in mind, these are medical ethicists, like if they're pretending to have ethics. Yeah, I know, of all things. That is like such a misnomer. it's so funny that these are the people deciding that an infant is not a person. It's not a person.
Because so when they come out of the room, they can't cook themselves a meal.
Right. Which makes no... So I am curious. So slippery slope again. What about people that something happens? I'm in an accident and I have a brain injury. And I am suddenly in a state where I need care. Is that just going to be, well, she's no longer a person, so let's just off her? Or grandma has such severe Alzheimer's, you know, she's just no longer able to take care of herself and she needs lots of help. Is she no longer a person? Thought this was horrible. I thought the fact that, of course, they got death threats. They specifically said that, well, Down syndrome is only diagnosed 40% of the time. And so those people that are, you know, their baby comes out, they shouldn't have to be stuck with the child because of the cost and the life, the investment.
And society, don't forget that society and the state have to provide for their care.
Yes. What in the hell? It's like some George Orwell thing. To me, it's just crazy. I don't understand how we're talking about a flipping cake in Indiana, but we are not talking about this.
Oh, how mm-hmm. is of course this, not.
How is this not on? Well, first of all, did you guys see on your local newses? Thank you. I actually did go to college. Did you see on your local news anything about the trafficking other than local, other than in the state of Florida? Maybe you saw the trafficking issue there, or if you lived in the state of Mississippi, maybe you saw. I would think those would be national stories. I mean, mm-hmm. people selling their damn kids. I mean, my God. And yet we keep hearing about Indiana.
Well, yeah.
So
because
crazy. This article just came out. Did you hear about this article anywhere other than on Twitter?
No.
This Oxford story? Seriously.
No.
It scares me to think that the NSA is going to control social media because we won't know anything. we will be completely in the dark.
We'll have to go back to the old
school newspaper. You know what? The whole reason that this is acceptable, the whole reason that parents are selling their kids, it's the breakdown of the family unit. It really is. And I don't care. Parents, if they're not, you know, committed to each other or whatever and get divorced, that's fine. You can still have a strong family unit with a single parent. It doesn't matter. But the fact is the family unit is deteriorated to the point where this is what is happening. You have these kids going to colleges. They are having this spoon-fed to them by these radical professors that basically, if I remember correctly, I think it was my husband who mentioned it, he said that part of the goal back in the 60s, people into the colleges to get spoon-fed that information, and then they come out like this. And I said, yeah, they might come out thinking like this, but give them a year or two in the real world on their own where they're not being spoon-fed this anymore, and they become Republicans. They really do, except for the crazy, you know, pot-smoking ones, but anyhow. I digress. But the fact is that the family unit's gone, and the fact that we now have people in the UK stating that full-term live birth babies, it's okay to kill them because it's not even considered murder. It's just, you know, it's after-birth abortion. Where does it stop, like you said? I mean, in Europe, yes, Europe does have euthanasia. So if someone is too old and they don't want to take care of them anymore, they can sit there and request of the government that they be put to sleep. Their family can. That's in Europe.
Like an animal.
I could understand.
It is like an animal.
I wanted to make that decision myself, where I said myself, I am dying. I don't want to be a burden on my family. This is how I want to go. But that's my decision. It's not a panel of doctors. It's not my family who might just not want to be bothered with me anymore that want to do this. It's my decision. And there's a difference between that. You know, and the fact is with all the methods out there now, there's no reason for abortion unless it's threatening the life of the mother or it's rape, which if you're raped and you report it right away, like I would hope anyone would, then you get the plan B. Plain and simple. There's no reason to have abortion anymore in this day and age. None. And it shouldn't even be a political topic.
I even have an issue with abortion with rape because I have personally known women who were raped who had their babies, and the kids are teenagers now. And they look back and they're like, I can't even believe that I would even think that. Because when it
they
comes
made,
out,
they
and
made
you
the
see
decision
it,
too. You know what I mean?
Right.
They made that decision too, you know, and it takes a strong person to do that, and I commend them. But there are others that can't emotionally handle it. But there's options.
Right.
Abortion is not needed anymore, not these 20 weeks ones, not these after birth ones. It's insane.
Well, I really believe that if you took a national poll, once again, not Democrats in the Senate and Republicans in the Senate, but if you took an actual poll and you talked to people in this United States of America and you said, we just saw that video this week that came out of that little baby at 16 weeks clapping when the mom is singing.
So cute.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Wasn't that adorable? And the baby
it
is
was.
Clapping on cue. That was a 16-week, or maybe it was a 14-week. Somebody, correct me on that. Maybe it was a 14-week fetus. But that was a baby that, I mean, it looks like a little baby. I think we all know that that is a small human. My thing is, I think most people, if you voted and you did a national poll, would agree that 20 weeks should be a cutoff, for sure. I think most people would say 20 weeks. I think we have enough science. Well, yes, you're almost 6 months, for God's sakes. You're able to see that child, and potentially at 22 weeks, that baby could be in the NICU. So I just really think that most people would agree that 20 weeks for sure. But just like, you know, Steve, who called in, had said about the heart, et cetera, we know brainwaves start at 6 weeks. We have all of the science now that we didn't have when Roe v. Wade passed. We know so much more. But I would think everyone in the world would agree once you gave birth to the baby and you're holding the baby, that it's a baby. It's no longer a fetus. It's an actual
right.
human being baby, and it has rights, like every other human being has rights. And my fear is, what if I'm black and I have a white baby, or I'm white and I have a black baby, and I've been adopted and I don't know what's in my ancestry? Is that a reason, then, according to these ethics doctors? I just argued with a doctor on Twitter. Angie and I were going back with her and Sam. We were discussing.
Oh, the one in Australia?
The doctor. Actually, I thought she was in Texas. Maybe she is
in Australia.
She
was Australia.
She was saying,
Australia.
Maybe you should be able to have an abortion for any reason, even if you just suddenly decide it makes me unhappy to be pregnant because I'm getting fat. Like, in her mind, anything goes. Any reason is a legitimate reason to have an abortion. That's how far in the spectrum she is. So I could honestly see her saying that once you gave birth to the baby and you look down in it and you don't feel that joy, well, smother it with a blanket. It just scares me.
They come up with constant excuses as to why something should be acceptable. And if you need an excuse for why something should be acceptable, it's not acceptable in the first place. You shouldn't have to come up with a reason or an excuse why. You know, well, if it's going to affect the mother's health, she should be able to get rid of it. Yeah, that's fine if it's life-threatening, you know, but not because, oh, my God, I have heartburn and I can't stand it. Well, you know what? I ate 160 count of Tums a day, practically, it seemed like. And you know what? I fully expected my kids to come out with hair long enough to braid. And then they were bald. Okay? But the fact is, I suffered through it.
You know, I don't know if you guys have ever...
All.
I don't know if you guys have ever read Tim or heard his story. I think it was him and his mom and how they were missionaries over in, I don't know, Africa or something, and they couldn't get health care. And the doctors said that his mom was going to die if she didn't abort the baby. Well, of course, they prayed. And he came out just like he is. So I have to wonder where the moral decline has happened. And I can't deny that it hasn't been a political movement that has pushed us to this point. I mean, it's a slow, apathetic process that's gotten us to this point. Society, globally, now we're saying that a newborn baby is not even a human and we can kill it. I mean, that's mind-blowing.
And the word needs to get out about this. I know it's a very tough subject and it's a very upsetting subject for people to discuss, but if we're silent, like we have been, like these generations before us have been, which is the reason why we are in the situation that we're in today, because people didn't say anything. They didn't protest.
Well, they're afraid of offending
people. And this
is
where we are today. And that's the problem. You know what? Sometimes you have to offend people.
Right.
You just can't sit there and gloss over the difficult things in life or what you find unacceptable. You still need to talk about it. And if it's glossed over and just pushed aside, guess what? This is the good old USA of today.
Right.
And I guess what I don't understand is, and you know, we talk about, you know, the political parties soliciting the vote and the soliciting the vote, for example, of the Hispanics. Well, in reality, most of conservative values, libertarian values of family and all that stuff, that's what Hispanics identify with. They are a family unit. When they come here, they're trying to bring their entire family here. You have generations living under the same roof. And what I don't understand is where in all of that are they identifying with the Democratic Party or the liberal ideal? I don't understand where that disconnect is, because there has to be a disconnect there. That's the one thing I will always say. They're very strong when it comes to the family base.
I think what happens is when people are given things freely, and I think look at the last election. You know, their vote was basically purchased because they were given things. Like here, it's kind of like bribery. So I think that's where the disconnect is. And
money
I think
talks, bullshit walks, is that it?
Exactly. I mean, it's all about money for a lot of people. And I think when you give people things for free and they don't work for it, they don't earn it, then you basically have them wherever you want them. They will vote however.
But you know what? In reality, I will say this, that, you know, I'm not going to get into the immigration battle or anything, but they're really hard workers. The people that have come from Mexico, they're hard workers. They're not sitting there trying to collect a paycheck. They will take any job possible to sit there and earn a paycheck.
Yeah.
So I guess,
I see that down here. The Cubans that have come here, they have opened businesses, I mean successful businesses, because they're boots on the ground as soon as they get here and they bust their butts to work because they see the American dream and that's what they want. So you're right about that.
I guess it's kind of like a oxymoron when it comes to the perception that they're getting a bunch of free things. And I think in reality, they're busting their asses to work, where there's other minority groups that have their hands out. And there's also, you know, the white groups that have their hands out. Those, I guarantee you, the majority of the people selling their kids are white in Missouri.
I have to ask you guys, did you see the story that the professor, a study came out? You guys, I know it's this way, and I think in the DSM-3, I think I'm saying that wrong. I feel like I have Alzheimer's. In the in the psychiatry,
mm-hmm.
The DSM, say it 3, with me.
4. Yeah, it's 5
yeah, okay.
About now.
Yeah, okay. So pedophilia is no longer, they want to make it not a crime, but just a disorder.
It's, yes, it's now in the DSM-5, it is a mental disorder.
Yes.
And it's a
mental
preference.
Disorder.
And a preference.
Yes. I want you all, now we're talking about how things have just morally decayed. Here we have a group of doctors, like these ethicists in England, deciding that an infant is no longer a person. They have decided pedophilia in the United States is a disorder. That breaks my heart, especially when you hear all these stories. When just, you know, go back and listen to Jerome's story. Listen to that and then tell me, we are not supposed to criminalize those men that hurt him. We're supposed to just give them therapy. I don't understand.
You know,
and for people that really want to sit there and go back and research this, it was the Rutgers law professor, Margot Kaplan, and it came out in the New York Times, October 6, 2014, where she did an op-ed. And, you know, again, we come back to excuses because they're giving excuses for this. Is it a mental disorder? I don't know. I mean, I think they're mental, obviously, if they're sitting there attracted to prepubescent kids. There's something definitely wrong in their brainwave.
What that is there are, I guess, basically three levels of sexual addictions. They are categorized in the third level, which is the worst, and it is a form of a mental disorder, which, funny enough, came about by either them being molested when they were kids or watching excessive amounts of pornography. I mean, it's kind of like the gateway drug type of thing. As they get into it and it becomes an addiction, it escalates to that. And I think we're going about this all wrong, just like we're incarcerating drug addicts. Drug addicts who feel some change to buy some drugs instead of giving them therapy. And now we're not incarcerating child molesters and child rapists, but we're going to give them therapy and let them go free just to harm another person. There's something wrong with that.
I think the key that in her Q&A, which I thought was very interesting, is that they asked her. She said they said, "You're basically saying, hey, let's take it easy on pedophiles." And she said, "I'm not saying that about sex offenders. I say they remain responsible for their conduct. We need to treat pedophiles before they offend. People see the word pedophile and think sex offender. People choose to sex offend children. They do not choose to be pedophiles." So that falls in line with, I think, as you said, the diagnosis that they do have a disorder. It just depends on if they choose to act out on the disorder. And I think 95% of the time, at some point in their lives, they will act out on that disorder. And we also know that a lot of sex offenders who have received the counseling and the therapy and all that stuff, they go out and they reoffend again and again and again. So the question is, the therapy is not successful. So what do you do?
Well, unless the therapy is castration. Then I think
they're still gonna have the urge, though. So if it's a mental disorder,
sure,
they will still
sure
have the urge.
I have no doubt they're wired differently. I have
right.
no doubt that a man that sits and looks at a small boy or a small girl and thinks that that's attractive versus, you know, Elton when
woman.
She was in her prime. Yes, exactly. I obviously they're wired different. I get that. But to dumb it down and talk yourself out of medication or talk therapy, we know that doesn't work. We know that doesn't work. So is locking them up long term, or is a lobotomy? I mean, I'm serious. It is such a damaging thing. They are basically destroying a life, every time they act on that urge, but every time they act on that urge, they are destroying families. They are destroying a life. So should they be allowed to do that? I think that is such a huger moral question and issue we're facing in the United States. All of these things with the sex trafficking, with human slavery, all of these ethical issues, when is a baby a baby? These should be such first and foremost things that we should be just freely discussing them, and they should be so much more out there, I think, than some of the crazy stuff we're talking about.
Like
we're banning a pizza place.
I mean,
over a made up issue of not serving gay people, which was completely debunked and nuts. So I just think
in Indiana, I mean, is just unbelievable, because we're supposed to have a freedom of religion and state, and yet we have the state more and more intruding upon religious rights. So it's going to come to a head at some point in time, that, you know, it already did come to a head when it came to Holly Hobby, and they didn't like the fact that Holly Hobby had the right to say, I'm a private religious-based company, and I'm not going to pay for abortions or whatever the
rules
were.
Holly was the doll you and I played when we were younger. You're showing our age.
Hobby Lobby.
Holly, whatever. Like, I don't go there because, you know, I'm not very crafty. I don't even think we have one in our state. But the fact is that, you know, I mean, I honestly think, like, for example, when I was trolling through Richard Grenell, you know, he's the Fox News contributor, whatever, and he basically said, you know, let me just tell you right now, if there's pizza served at a wedding, you can be assured it's not a gay person's wedding, because they take it lightly. Do you know what I mean? It's like they think this is ludicrous. This is crazy. You know, I would imagine that I would love to see more of a reaction out of the LGB, whatever the hell they're called, their initials, out of the killings in Saudi Arabia or other Middle Eastern countries of gays. Yet they don't. You don't hear a peep out of them. I have heard nothing from any of them over any of the killings of gays over there.
Well, I just really believe that the majority of, especially conservative gay people, see that this is just as a non-issue. I think they see the drummed up hysteria over a cake. I think they would agree with us that really the human trafficking issue should be first and foremost in the news, and not this ridiculous
Absolutely.
George Soros, I believe, stirred up issue, you know, going on. I think it's just a way to enrage the masses. So can you ladies believe that we have gone by an entire hour with our discussion? It just went
Excellent.
By so fast.
It did.
It went by
quick.
I know it goes by so quick, and I hope we covered so much tonight. My goodness. I hope that those of you that lead such busy lives, that you are getting your stuff done and you don't have time to go on all these websites like we do. I know you all think we need to get live. So we really are busy people. This is our thing. So one of the things that I really hope you guys took away from this hour was that just what's out there. And this, we didn't take articles that were old. All of these things just happened. So I think that's pretty, heartbreaking to think that all of these topics were so recent, because they're all horrible.
And we're still going to be talking about it and staying on top of it. And look basically at the Red Wine, we'll be still putting articles up as we see fit that we think people need to know about, and they might be uncomfortable, but we need to talk about it. We need to get it out there.
Okay, so Katie, you're going to be with us again at the first Wednesday of each month. Is that right?
That's correct, as long as you have me.
Absolutely.
Oh, we would absolutely love having you, and thank you so much. And we love your input. And if at any point, you know, something comes up that in your local area or that you're seeing at your shelter, please, you know, let us know, and we would love to discuss it. So,
yes,
okay,
sure.
So this weekend, let me tell you guys what's happening. Hammy's show and Stevie's show, Getting Hammered, is off for 1 month because they're working on our new venue. So thank God for the new venue. So that's one thing. The new thing is we have a special show called Saints and Sinners on Saturday night. And I wasn't given a time, so sorry. Yes, that's coming.
And who is on Saints and Sinners?
Now, is this the two Steves? Is this part
of? I believe it is. And we know Steve is no saint either.
Yeah. Would you got to say something, producer?
It's Steve. It's on Saturday night. It's going to be either 9 or 10 o'clock this Saturday night.
Can we call in and
harass?
Yes, you absolutely can call in and harass.
We'll keep calling his show. That'll be fun. That'll be fun. All right. I lost.
Are you getting the music played?
I don't. I can't even hear the music played. So thank you for coming. We'll see you next time. And hope you enjoyed your glass of wine.
Have a great week.
Are you there, Steve?